Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. Do pray for these folk or missionaries, and not only the Rochester family, but all of our missionaries as they travel and go here and there and do what they do for the glory of God. Then we pray that God will bless and help in a special way that we might all understand the fact that God does help us when we fail. I'm glad He does help us, and He doesn't leave us lame, but get up. I read something the other day somewhere, can't remember where I read it, but anyway, this football coach had two boys he took out, and one was named Jim, one was named Bill. Bill was a great tackler. He could really tackle anybody. Jim was a runner, but wasn't too hard to tackle. He put him out one-on-one and said, "Now, Bill, you tackle Jim," and they did. Jim got back up, and Bill tackled him again. He got back up, he hit him again. Got back up, he hit him again. Got back up, he hit him again. Went on for a while, and finally the coach said, "That's enough." And I said, "Now that's the way I want you to do it," the whole team. They said, "You want us to hit like Bill did?" I said, "No, I want you to get up like Jim did." Amen. Yeah, when we get hit, get knocked down, it's getting up, it counts. That's where you find out where real drive is getting up when you get hit. And I like that. That just spoke to my heart. Hey, amen. We get a good illustration of it. And I pray that we'll always remember that. We get hit. And sometimes we get knocked down, but we don't stay down. And we can get up by the grace of God and the help of God and go again for the glory of God. And that makes all the difference in the world. And I praise the Lord. Thank God for His goodness. In Revelation chapter number 6, look at verse number 12. Let's stand, please, while I read just a few verses here. Now, of course, we're in the tribulation period here, talking about that. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. And remember the seven seal book, I believe the title deed, if you would, to the earth that Jesus took from the hand of the Father. And he began to open the seals. And said, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together. Every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth and the great men, the rich men and the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the singing of the songs and the blessing it was to our heart. And God, that we can look unto you and find strength and help. I pray, Father, you bless now these that come tonight. You know every heart, every individual. You know the needs of every family and every individual. And so I pray for them. I ask tonight, Father, that you speak to hearts. Could be somebody here in our midst that's unsaved. And I pray that you would speak to that heart in a special way. Conviction be real. Then for every saved person, that we may look unto you and find strength and help. And I pray encouragement in these days. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I pray, God, you continue speaking to hearts and deal with lives that people may be saved. On the prayer list, you know all those that are sick. And that one that family mentioned about bereavement, I pray for all of these and ask you, God, to help them. Touch them according to your will for your glory, and comfort the hearts, and then touch bodies. and we'll praise you and thank you for what you do. I pray, God, those unsaved and need something spiritually, that you speak to their hearts and deal with their lives. Help us tonight now in the house of God. Open the Word of God. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to share something that would encourage hearts and not challenge us. And, Lord, that we'd want to do more. And I praise you and give you glory for who you are. And I want to thank you tonight for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming back to get us. I praise you for the great promise and thank you for it. And pray now you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I wanted to look at the tribulation just for a few moments. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here as such, but just tonight, pulling up for a little bit. We've been talking about judgment, and I've put this in here. I know it's not a time of judgments as a nation standing before God or individuals standing before God, but it is a world suffering the wrath of God. And God's judgment is being poured out during tribulation period. And I realize the fact there's a lot of disagreement about some details about tribulation and rapture and all that kind of thing. But I just want to give you a little scripture tonight that I pray you help us in getting things, I believe, in line as God has them in his word. I'm not a prophecy authority. I don't claim to be, but I do claim to be a Bible believer. I do believe what God says, and I do believe in this day in which we live that we are living in the day that we very well may see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that all through the ages they have looked for his coming. I believe every generation had the responsibility to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our generation, of all generations, have the privilege of living in these days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe he's coming back? I believe Jesus is coming back. He said, if I go away, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He made us a promise. And Paul put it, a blessed hope and a glorious appearing. And we look for that hope. John got through Revelation, got down to the end of the book. And Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. And John just said, come, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He'd seen all that was going to happen, what was going to happen, and he read and saw what the end of the book and how it's going to wind up and got excited. I believe he was excited when he said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. He had that desire in his heart, and you and I ought to have a desire for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that anticipation, that's something that we anticipate and look forward to. You remember that day you got married, and you remember looking forward to that day, and you anticipated getting married. Now, Pam down there, she's looking at me kind of funny. Mark, I don't know what she means by that look she gave me, but I think she meant, what are you fixing to say, preacher? I'm kidding. I'm picking on them all the time. They're pickable. Not pickles, but pickable. And I pick on them because they need it. Brother Mark does. He needs that. Helps him along the way, but I remember that anticipation of that day and look forward to it. And that's the way the coming of the Lord Jesus ought to be to us as a church, as individuals. We look forward to his coming, and he's going to pick us up and take us out of here and take us home to be with him. I say glory, hallelujah. But judgment is coming, and tribulation period is a time of judgment. Now, I want us to turn back to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter number 9. You need to turn there because I'm going to give you just a few scripture that I think will help you as we look at it together. And talking about the 7-year tribulation period, dealing with that, I'm not an authority on that, but I think we can see from scripture and from history what these 7 years mean, Daniel talks about 70 weeks that are determined upon the children of Israel. Then we talk about the 7 years of tribulation period. I think we can see where we get that from and why we believe that. And so if you'll look in Daniel chapter 9 and look with me, please, in verse number 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity
and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, he said several things in that verse of scripture, and he talked about finishing up the transgression, making an end of sins, reconciliation for iniquity, bringing in everlasting righteousness, and of course, at the end of tribulation, millennium comes, and he deals with a lot of that and tells about all these things. But notice what he said in verse number 25. He says, no, therefore. He said, now this 70 weeks are determined, but no, therefore. And understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. He breaks it into two parts, but no break in the time element. And the street shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. There's the second part. First part is he deals with the 7 weeks. Then he deals with the 62 weeks, which is 62 weeks. That makes a total of 69 weeks. And notice what he said, verse 26. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city, the sanctuary. I want to pause there just a minute and back up. After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. I want to pause there and just say, hallelujah. Amen. Well, what's he talking about? He was cut off for me. He was cut off for you. That's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came and died and paid our price at Calvary. I say hallelujah. That's worth shouting about right there. He was cut off, but not for himself. Not for himself, but for us. He endured the cross and despised the shame. And I'm glad that he did and endured the cross, because through the cross, the blood was shed, the price was paid, and the sin debt was met and paid for and paid in full. And I'm glad, thank God, Jesus paid it in full. And I never have to face that sin debt. It's been paid. Amen. I thank God for that. Somebody said the other day, talking to me, talking about sinning and said about being saved forever. That's settled. Jesus paid it once and forever. Amen. And sin in my life as an individual Christian down here, God deals with me. I either confess it and get it right and forsake it, or he chastises me. And chastisement doesn't get it done. He'll take me home to heaven. Amen. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God. We're not just turned loose down here and left to just fiddle around and think we get by with that. We belong to him. I'm glad he loves me enough to get my attention when I do sin and fail, and he lets me know about it. And he speaks to me first and deals with me that way. If I don't listen, then he deals with me in chastisement. If I don't listen, then 1 John 5 talked about some he'd take him home. And I believe that with all my heart that there's some that he's taken out of here. And we could even, I think I could name one or two I've seen in my lifetime. And I'm not going to that, but I can tell you that you see those folk who say, that they're saved. You believe they are? They really are saved. They get out of the will of God, get messed up somehow, and get out of tune with heaven. And I'll tell you about one that I won't go into any detail about, but from a different church, not this church, but a different church, where I pastored, and I can't even remember what happened, but for some reason, he got out of church and got out with God, got out with everybody and everything, but he'd gotten saved there. And got in there, but something happened. I don't even remember the details about that, but I do remember this. I do remember visiting him, talking to him, and he didn't have any, wouldn't listen, didn't respond, and that went on for some time. But I do remember seeing him come in the back door of that church that he said he never would come in again. I remember him coming in, barely could walk, but got in, sat down on the back seat, and barely got in the door because he's so weak he couldn't go any further. He was dying with cancer. And just a few days later, he died and went on to glory. But he said, preacher, I know I'm saved, but I messed up. And God taken me out. And sad that is, but I want to say this. That's better than getting by with it and being lost and dying and going to hell. Amen. I'd rather know I'm a child of God and that I belong to God and that God deals with me and helps me than would be that I was lost and just got by with whatever and just go on and do whatever. God never deal with me about it, and I never get under chastisement or anything like that. And people look sometimes at the unsaved and they think, well, they're getting by, they're doing so good, and sometimes we get... look at that and think, well, I wonder why they are getting along so good. You just wait. Their day's coming. Their day's coming. And we'll get to that later and talking about judgment. They will not get by. God will judge that. Now, I kind of chased a rabbit trail right there, but it's a good rabbit trail to chase because we all are saved by the grace of God and need to understand that God does work in our hearts. And God does deal with it. But oh, praise God. I'm glad when we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does not leave us laying there. We can get up by the grace of God and by the help of God. We can go again for the glory of God. He does not throw the clay away. And praise God for the reality of that. And you and I that have failed God, and you have and I have, and we fail, God comes short of the glory of God. But God helps us get up and keep on going for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Not that we want to fail, not that we deliberately fail, not that we desire to fail, but God helps us when we do fail. And I say hallelujah and praise His name that He does. I'm talking about tribulation, so I better get back to these weeks I'm talking about. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Talking about Israel, talking about the Jewish people, that's Daniel's people. And then understand a week. Now, when we talk about a week here, a week to them is like us saying a dozen. If they talk about a week of days, a week of years, a week of what? If you went in and asked for a dozen, a store clerk would look at you and say, a dozen what do you want? And you'd say a dozen eggs or a dozen donuts. That's pretty good, dozen donuts. Or a dozen something. You'd say, I want a dozen. But if you just went in and said, I want a dozen, they'd say, well, you got to tell me a dozen what. And so when they said 70 weeks, well, weeks of what are we talking about? 70 weeks, what does it mean? And so they used that word weeks like we use dozen. It means seven. So what does he mean by it? Well, look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks altogether. But first he said 7 weeks. And it's 49 years from the going forth of the commandment. Go back and rebuild. And seven sevens are 49. And from the time the commandment was given to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah until they were finished up. And so that figures out using the 360 days, the biblical year, and it figures out exactly 49 years. So that's a good key to the whole situation right there. And then he said 62 more weeks until the Messiah would come and would be cut off. And that figures out when Jesus came from the time that we're talking about now, the commandment of our Texas to go back and rebuild. Now remember these three commandments to go back to Jerusalem are three decrees given by King Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes. King Cyrus and Darius both gave the desire to go back, or decrees to go back, that Israel could go back to their homeland and rebuild the temple. Didn't say anything about the walls, didn't say anything about the gates, and that kind of, just said the temple. And so those dates don't fit. But our Texas date to go back and rebuild the walls, it fits. Isn't that what he said here in the Word of God? To build Jerusalem. And he's talking about building the city. And so taking that command, when he said go back and do that to Nehemiah, and it's finished up, is 49 years. And then you add 62 onto that, and making each week a year, and add 62 more on, it makes it for a total of 483 years, and it's 490 years determined upon 70 weeks, if each week is 7 years, and so 69 of those have been fulfilled. That prince that shall come is the Antichrist. And it talks about him in verse number 26, and says in, and the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and sanctuary. That was the Roman that did that. So it's a prince out of the old Roman Empire. And we're getting down to talking about Antichrist now. And look at verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice, oblation to cease for the overspread and abomination. He shall make it desolate even unto the consummation. That determinant shall be poured out upon the desolate. In other words, what he's saying there is that he'll make a covenant for 1 week with Israel. And by the way, the Antichrist is going to come in crying, peace, peace. Antichrist is not coming in as showing his true color. He's not coming in. Kind of reminds you of something today, don't it? But they don't show true color. But they get in, then they'll start showing some color. And the Antichrist is going to come in. He's going to cry, peace, peace. He's going to seem like he's got the mentality. He's going to be a super smart man. And he'll be able to do super things because he's going to be empowered by the devil. But remember this, God has all power. The devil has some power, but Jesus can handle him any day of the week. And so, but now 69 weeks are already fulfilled upon Israel. They built the city. The Messiah came. He was cut off, but not for himself. That gives us the key to the whole thing. And now 7 years for each week. There's 1 week left, 70 weeks determined, 69 of them fulfilled. 1 week yet to come, has not come yet. Israel must be in their land. There must be a covenant made by Antichrist. Has to be somebody come in that will make a covenant with them and promise them peace. And Middle East is a hotbed now, will be. And you can rest assured, Israel will be there. And she's a thorn in the flesh of a lot of nations, but she is there by divine promise. She's there because God promised she'd be there. And she's there because God chose her to be there. And God gave her that land. She's in her own land. It doesn't make any difference what the United Nations or anybody else says about it. God gave that land to Israel. That's God's land. And God gave it to Israel. And that's theirs. And they're going to have it. And now they may get driven out somewhat. They may have some problems here and there. And the time's coming when they'll make a false peace with them in the middle of the 7-year tribulation period. Antichrist will reveal his true color, and he'll turn against them and make ungodly sacrifice and make fun of and declare himself to be God and want to be worshipped. But oh, praise God, I'm not going to be around. I'm heading out. How you know that? I know that by the word of God, because it is a time of wrath of God. It's judgment. It's God's judgment upon this earth. Now look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Won't take time to read all of this, but it starts out talking about times and seasons. And brethren, you have no need I write you. In other words, you know about the day of the Lord. And look at verse number 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. When they say peace and safety. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. And I'm going to skip a few verses now for the sake of time. But look at verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to attain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's not just talking about missing hail and being born again. He's talking about the wrath of God in context of that scripture. He's talking about the wrath of God being poured out, and that day of the Lord is not going to take us unaware. In other words, he's saying you can know that the day of the Lord's coming, and you and I today can know that the day of the Lord is coming. God is putting it up with and being long-suffering. He is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. And our world tonight is not just in America, but it's all over the world. People are turning against God, away from God. Sin abounds, ungodliness abounds, and it's on every hand. And how long do you think God is going to put up with this? How long do you think God is going to bear with? I do not know. I do not know. I know God's long-suffering. But I do know that the God that wrote this book and the God that saved me and the God that birthed me in his family, same God, he said there'll be a day that I'll say it's enough. There'll be a day, the day of the Lord comes, I'll get to glory. The day he said that I'll be exalted, the day he'll come, and the day he'll pour his wrath out upon this earth. And this earth and that day may mock at and make fun of and make light of, but there will be a day that God will say, that is enough. That is enough. And God begins to pour his wrath out. Preacher, what makes you think you'll be gone? In Revelation chapter 2, in chapter 3, you have seven churches given. And they represent seven church ages if you study church history. The last one is Laodicean. And that church is lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. And they increase with goods, have need of nothing. And God called them naked and poor and all that kind of stuff. In other words, they have material things, but they don't have spiritual things. Our churches today, and when I say churches, I'm talking using that word, quote, churches, as the world calls churches. And I believe in the church. I believe in the local church. And I thank God for the church we're in right here. But we're nowhere near perfect because we're made up of imperfect people. But I'm glad one day, thank God, God's going to finish up a job on us and present us perfect as a bride of Christ. I talked about Sunday night, and we will be there, amen, together with him. But chapter 3, he winds up with the Laodicean church, and you and I find ourselves in that kind of situation today. But notice verse number 4, or chapter 4, and verse 1. After this, after what? After those seven churches. I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I'll show you things which must come hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. In other words, I believe it's a picture of the rapture of the church. The church is not mentioned again in Revelation until you get to chapter 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hey, I'm glad, praise God. A church is not mentioned in the tribulation period because the church is not around. Do you think a church would be on the earth and God not mention her? Do you think he dealing with the church in the New Testament, telling us about the church, the working of the church, all about the church. And Revelation starts out talking about the seven churches. But then all of a sudden, he says, I saw a door open in heaven, and a voice said, come up hither. And immediately I was in the spirit. I say, hallelujah. Tonight Jesus may come, and immediately we'll be changed and be glorified and go out of here and meet Jesus in the air somewhere. I say hallelujah, amen. And what a day that will be. Then God begins to pour his wrath out upon this earth. In chapter 4, chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, you have a scene in heaven. And there's a worshiping God, praising the Lamb, giving glory to him. Then chapter 6, he begins with that white horse coming and that man riding on him with a bow and no arrow. That's the picture of the Antichrist, not the Christ. The Christ is coming back at the end of tribulation in power and great glory and a sharp sword out of his mouth to defeat the Antichrist, Satan, and all the rest of the crowd. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, that's victory indeed. There is a conqueror from Calvary, and he will come one day conquering, and he will conquer. And I say hallelujah, I'm on the winning side. I know I'm already, the victory's already won because Jesus knows everything. He's already conquered, amen. He conquered death, hell, the grave, walked out victorious, and coming back to get us and finish up the job with us as a church. Amen. He's coming after us. Not mentioned, we'll be gone. When the tribulation comes, I'll be gone. There's an old song written about that. Dear preacher friend of mine up in the mountain, brother, you know that song. I want you to get it together for me. When the tribulation comes, I'll be gone. Amen. Why? I'm not appointed to wrath. God, I'm one of God's children. I'm the bride. I'm an ambassador. You know what a country does before it declares war on another country? It calls his ambassador home. Don't leave an ambassador over in a country going to fight and be bombing. Calls him home. Amen. Praise God. We're ambassadors for Christ. Then we're in this country. But he's going to take us home to our country. And then he's going to pour out the wrath and declare war, as it were, on this world. And it's, I read to you, and I'm not going to try to say too much about it. I know time's run out, and I got to finish up here tonight. But I read to you tonight about that sixth seal on the grave. Of course, he's lumping a lot of things up here and then begins to unfold it in Revelation. But here he's saying there's going to be a great earthquake, mountains move, heavens are going to, stars falling, and all these mighty things happening. Later you read about locusts, you read about all the horrors and sorrows that comes, and men cry. And some places they try to die and can't even die. And then they hide in rocks and mountains and cry from them, they'll fall on them, hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. What a day that'll be. What a day. I'm glad that I'm in the rock of ages. I don't have to hide in some rock down here try to get away from the wrath of the Lamb. I'm already hid. I'm in the Rock of Ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Saved by the grace of God. Are you saved tonight? The rapture came right now. Would you go? If Jesus right now stepped out and said, come up hither. Come up hither. Would you immediately be gone? Or would you be left? Would you sit around and look around? Everybody gone. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like to be left? I can't tell you all about what it's going to be like. But God did say, I'll send them strong delusion, because he would not believe the truth. I'll let them believe a lie. They'll follow the Antichrist because they wouldn't believe the truth. Those that's heard the gospel, had a clear presentation of it, had opportunities. God said, I'll send them strong delusion. Let them believe a lie. They might be damned because they would not believe the truth. I'm glad we have the truth. I'm glad we have Jesus, the truth. But I'm talking about judgment now, God. God is going to send judgment on the world, on this earth. And you and I, they're saved. We're not appointed to that. We'll be gone. But if you're not saved, you will be. But let's remember our lost loved ones, those out there that we know it's lost, they'll be left here if we don't reach them for Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for thy word. And thank you, Heavenly Father, we have the truth of thy word to rest our very being in. That Jesus died and rose. That he died for sinners and brought us into salvation. Saved us. And Father, then you tell us what's determined upon Israel. In the last days, what's going to happen in the 1 week yet to come. That tribulation period to come. And church will be gone and then, Father, it's going to be a great day of reckoning. Men will hide, run, and be afraid. Father, I pray you'd help us, God, today to recognize the fact that we are among the saved and going to heaven, going to be in the rapture of the church. But help us reach others that's not saved until Jesus does come, till the rapture does take place. Help us have a desire, burden, and a great desire in our hearts to reach others for Christ. I pray tonight you bless and have your way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to just sit real still for a moment.